Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly. How are you, poor baby?
Oh, I threw my back out again. You know, I'd love to say that I was like jumping off like a parachute trampolining or something crazy like that, but just kind of going about business. You know, I think I've been sitting on the floor a lot lately because I'm trying to get Prowler to eat all of his vittles.
Mm-hmm.
So I spoon feed him sometimes, sitting on the hard floor. Cause I've historically had some issues when I've done that too much, not the right position. But thank gosh for the chiropractor. I mean,
for one,
you know, I've been doing Pilates and yoga pretty consistently for 15 months. So I have not had this issue at all. So mm-hmm. I'm like really pleased. That's a really long time
yes.
to go without it. But oh, I thought I was going to go to the emergency room on Sunday. It was just awful. But my chiropractor has the fanciest, most fun things, toys that he uses that really just reshape my pelvic tilt and all this stuff.
Wow.
He's like doing these things. I'm like, what the hell was that?
I need to go to your chiropractor. He sounds more fun.
So funny. I love him. He's so cute, too, because he has a two-year-old little girl, and he just loves her so much. And I take private Pilates also from his wife. So it's one-stop shopping. They have acupuncture, chiropractic.
Great.
Yeah, so it's a really great center. But more importantly, it's Halloween. Halloween, everybody.
I'm so excited. This is by far my favorite. And just a little side note, they have all this candy here in the studio. So I went right for my favorite, peanut M&Ms. My kids already know that that needs to be put aside for me. If they get that.
Oh.
No one can eat that except for me. And so I already ate that, but I'm so excited. Like, I just cannot wait. I cannot wait to see all the costumes. And should I reveal the big reveal about what we're going to be tonight? Or do you want it to be a surprise?
I think that's up to you. What do you want it to, I mean, I want to know. Maybe you should do it next week for the whole family ensemble, right?
That's funny. Okay, that sounds good. All right, I'll zip
because
it.
Because we don't want your husband divorcing you because I'm the one who pressured you or quitting the show because I made you announce it beforehand.
I put him up to this shenanigans. He could care less. He would shout it from the rooftops. He could care less. It's me who controls the situation.
Now, did the kids just get like overwhelmed with excitement for this?
Not
holiday,
because
you make such a big deal of it.
I know. I probably make too big of a deal, because then they're like, Remy's already said to me, I don't want to dress up. Like, that is like the worst possible thing you can say to me. Yeah, he tried to pull this last year. And, you know, I think we probably have one more year of doing a family costume before it's like, no more. But yeah, he's not big on
dressing. Utter rebellion.
Yeah, but London loves the candy, so he could care less about the costume. I mean, the fact that you can go to strangers' homes and get candy, I mean, this is heaven for him. So he's thrilled.
Oh my gosh, of course.
Yes. And I'm glad.
So cute.
I did my 5K. Remember on the inflatable last weekend? So I'm happy that at least I worked out slightly, but maybe I need a 5K after tonight, too.
Now, will you just overindulge in candy?
Not really. I'm usually, you know me, I like the dark, but the peanut M&Ms will do it for me. That's just the best. What's your favorite?
Okay.
I feel like you're
I've got the big Costco bag sitting here on my table. I don't think that most people ever end up, we don't get that many trick-or-treaters out here, sadly. It's always such a disappointment. And my favorite little girls moved out of the neighborhood a couple years ago, so
yeah,
we'll just see what we can see, you know.
Right.
Anyway, so I didn't do anything exciting for Halloween, but that's all right. I'll do something more fun next year.
Yeah, that's all. You got to take it easy. Be a model for our guests.
That's
that
what
you
got to
take it easy. Yeah.
Yes. Alrighty. Well, last week's show was just, she was such a delight. Alexis Hyde, who is the founder and the person who runs the Museum of Broken Relationships. What an interesting idea. How exciting.
It was so cool. I am so excited to go. So basically, for those of you who missed it, it's a museum in LA, And people donate their memorabilia from relationships. It could be relationships with a spouse, a partner, a mother, a friend. And it's just basically, she was saying how cathartic it is, you know, to donate something and sort of start that healing process. But the objects that were donated were just amazing and really cool to kind of see and hear what people, you know, thought of in relationships. So it was just a really, really neat concept and great show.
My favorite and the most astounding was the woman who sent in the breast implants.
The actual live breast implants. Yes.
The actual implants.
Remember how mad you got? You were like, what the hell?
I know.
That was so funny.
But in honor of our show and our listeners, Alexis Hyde is offering a 20% off the admission price for anybody who wants to attend. You just mentioned our show, the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, and you get 20% off. That was very generous.
Yes, absolutely. So that'd be great. And it just looks great. It looks fabulous. Like, I think it'll be a really cool experience. So we highly promote it.
Yes. So without further ado, today we have another fabulous guest. This is today is Maura Aarons Neely, the author of Hiding in the Bathroom, An Introvert's Roadmap to Getting Out There When You'd Really Rather Stay Home. Maura is the founder of award-winning social impact agency Women Online, hosts the podcast Hiding in the Bathroom, and created the influencer network The Mission List. She was founding political director for Blogger.com and has written for the Harvard Business Review, the Huffington Post, Moms Rising, Forbes, Wall Street Journal, New York Times, The Guardian. Aarons Neely is a graduate of Brown University and the Harvard Kennedy School and lives in Boston, Massachusetts. Welcome, Maura.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
You do not sound like an introvert. It's funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it sounds like a pure extrovert with that high. And so we got a lot to talk about today.
You know, I think it would be fascinating before we launch, and we want to know so much more about you and your book and all that stuff, but just maybe define for our audience your version of what is an introvert versus an extrovert? And do you have to be only one or the other, or can you have elements of both?
I think you can have elements of both. I think that what's really interesting to me, and you know, because there's no blood test, right, to show if you're an introvert or you're an extrovert, is that people take on different characteristics at different times, right, and in different phases of your life, right? But I do think that it's something inherent that you're born with. And the definition I use, and I'm so thrilled to be on the phone with a doctor and a therapist. It's like my dream. So many questions to ask you. But I do think that the key to thinking about, am I an introvert, am I an extrovert, is if I had a whole day to myself, right? And if it weren't for a horrible reason, you know, if I just woke up one day and I didn't have any meetings and I, you know, could sort of be in a comfortable environment and think and read and spend time alone, how would that make me feel? Do I like to be alone? When I'm working, do I draw energy from that sort of alone time, deep thinking? When I'm with lots of other people, do I feel like my energy is limited and it's sort of running out? You know, I always think of Superman and kryptonite is slowly draining his powers. Lots of introverts feel that way, not just when they're with big groups of people or strange people, but when they show up at a buzzy, bright, open office every day. Every day sort of encounters can be very draining for introverts. So the key is to really think about, am I an alone type person? That doesn't mean you don't like to be with other people and you don't draw energy from other people. We all do. But given your druthers, mm-hmm. would you spend more than 50% of your time sort of being alone or being with just a few people who are comfortable with you? And do being in demanding situations, whether they're social or workplace, drain you? Do bright lights drain you? Do loud noises drain you? I have a great quiz in my book, and there's, of course, many resources. But the last thing I want to say is that introverts are not necessarily quiet mm-hmm. or shy. We're not wallflowers, you know. Mm-hmm. Some of the most successful and some of the most vibrant and charismatic people that you know are introverts. So I think there's a lot of misconception about what being an introvert is.
I totally agree.
Oh, that's really sweet.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Deborah.
No. That's really sweet. And somebody once said a simple definition just like that is that introverts tend to refuel in the presence of themselves, mm-hmm. and extroverts tend to refuel in the presence of others. Neither mm-hmm. one has one doesn't like people. It's not like they're antisocial or don't like people, or that extroverts don't sometimes like and enjoy their own time. So just like you said, it's like, where does the energy come from? And it's very powerful. Kelly, now you seem like almost a pure extrovert to me. Am I wrong?
It's so funny because I was going to say, I think I've gotten much more introverted over the years. I feel like when I was a kid, it was like 100%. And now it's like, yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like I draw energy from others, but I've learned over the years to really enjoy spending time alone and also really needing that time alone. So I don't know, you know, like you were saying at the beginning, Maura, that I guess people kind of, you know, morph and change and things like that. I mean, I guess, yeah, overall I'm an extrovert, but yeah.
I mean, I think also one of the things that I have found in interviewing lots of people and studying this, and also just sort of having a lot of honest conversations about my own trajectory is that if we're driven and we want to be successful and we're raised to always try harder and do better and give it our best, you know, and I really wrote this book as a love letter to the hyper ambitious, perfectionistic, overachieving young women out there, of which I am myself a recovering and frankly not so young one anymore. But, you know, is that you take on extroverted characteristics because extroversion is the dominant model of success in our culture, or at least what we perceive to be extroversion, right? I mean, look no further than our president, right? It's mm-hmm. this sort of like man talking in front of the room, lots of energy, salesman in chief. You know, I think that we assume that if you are someone who likes to be alone, who might need breaks from other people, who works well in quiet, you know, a lot of us think, is that what I want to be? You know, is that what's going to make me popular? Is that what's going to make people like me? And so we learn how to become more extroverted or turn it on because that's what's expected of us.
Right.
It's interesting that you should say that because I often was confused about my own self growing up as to whether I know that my parents reported that I was just unbearably shy. Just like, you know, somebody would come into the room and I would like have to hide. Just very, very, very shy. And I learned to cope because I also wanted to be, I was an ambitious and successful driven person. So I did sort of morph myself into becoming much more gregarious and out there and trying new things and really pushing myself beyond that kind of shyness. But I look back, as you said, shyness is not necessarily equated with introversion. So it kind of makes me wonder, if I hadn't been so shy, would I have been much more of a natural extrovert when I was younger? But I don't know. You know, I know now as I get older, when you say like bright lights and crowds, I just have such an aversion to that. And I find myself spending more and more time alone. And that energy concept of like, I love doing this, love the radio show, love speaking and talking to people and doing all that. But I do find that I get more drained from it than I used to.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's right. And I think that, it, you know, if you feel like you're an introvert, you probably are. Some introverts are really shy. There's also a layer of social anxiety that I think is really important. And I talk a lot about the added layer of anxiety in my book. Because I really struggle with many anxieties. And I think that people who are introverted and are sort of trying to put on a good face and be more, quote, extroverted, like a lot of us develop social anxiety. Or if we're introverts, we get that negative feedback that makes us have social anxiety. Because unlike introversion, social anxiety is something you learn over time. And I don't need to tell you to that because you're mental health professionals. So I think that there's a lot of reasons that we fight against our sort of inherent temperament, especially in the workplace. And, you know, my personal story is that I fought against it for a long time. And what I kept doing was just like quitting jobs and having panic attacks and being really depressed and having terrible anxiety and sometimes drinking too much and sort of acting out because I just could not ever feel happy at work or in my life. And then finally one day I realized I had to work 100% differently. It was, my path was just not going to work for me, because I had ignored, I just had not tuned in to who I was and my temperament and what I needed out of my work day.
Oh, I'm glad that you did find that new path then.
Me too. Well, and I was going to say...
How long ago?
Oh, sorry. Finish, Deborah.
Hi, Kelly.
No, I said you go finish. It's okay.
Oh, I lost my train of thought anyway. I just think it's lovely that, you know, a lot of people, I think, you know, they just keep trying to white knuckle it and keep on pushing themselves forward and never really just have that self-acceptance and be able to work with themselves. So I just think it's lovely that you're telling our listeners about that and that you've embarked on that journey for yourself.
Well, and I mean, yeah, and I think it's real. You know, the stress is a multi-hundred-billion-dollar industry in our country, and I think that many of us do push ourselves, and for good reasons, because we want to succeed. We have to earn a living. I mean, life is stressful, but many of us push ourselves into workplaces and work habits and jobs that are wrong for us for reasons that we can actually change. We just don't think we can. And so I looked at sort of the numbers and have spent so much time actually talking to healthcare providers and body workers who take care of our stressed out and painful bodies. And I think that that also often is like a direct result of showing up at an office every day and clenching, you know, or folding over your body in a chair because you inside sort of feel under attack, but you don't know what to do about it.
So I would love to know your thoughts if there's gender differences between men being introverts and is it more accepted versus women being introverts and things like that.
So the whole gender thing really threw me for a loop when the book actually came out, because my whole life is women's everything. My husband, my business is called Women Online, and my husband affectionately calls it vag.org because it's like a 100% feminist business. And, you know, we work with really amazing social good clients like Planned Parenthood. And, you know, I'm, you know, obsessed with women's equality and advancing women, yada, yada. And so the book was sort of sold and written and created to be a book, quote, you know, for women. And then when I started doing my podcast, which is also called Hiding in the Bathroom, and then when I started doing book events, all these men kept showing up. And at first I was like, are they in the wrong place? I couldn't figure it out. But then it sort of hit me that men and women are equally introverted and extroverted. You know, I don't think it's a gender thing. Again, there are many learned behaviors and the social anxiety piece. You know, women have more anxiety than men, although I think that men have a lot of social anxiety and it's a lot harder for them. So I think that we're all equally, you know, dealing with this stuff, but men just don't have as many outlets to talk about their emotions as women do. I mean, think about it. We are socialized as women to be able to be emotional, like to our detriment, right? Because unfortunately, if women cry at work, it's sort of so seen as stereotypical and it hurts us in our careers. But men have none of those outlets. And for introverted men and socially anxious men, the stigma, in a way, can be greater, unless you're like a genius scientist or, you know, you're a coder, like you're in a profession where it's sort of, quote, expected of you, like people don't judge. But imagine if you are a salesperson and you're a man and you're introverted and you're quiet and you don't feel comfortable getting up there and giving that sort of, I call it the fuck you alpha male pitch, you know, that we think of like with Alec Baldwin and Glengarry Glen Ross, like put down the fucking coffee. Coffee is for closers. You know, there's so much in our work culture and our success culture that is not only extremely extroverted, it's extremely like alpha male and patriarchal. Mm-hmm. If you're a man and that's not who you are and you're trying to compete in that world, that's super painful. And that is very challenging. And I have heard from so many men these past few months who are dying to talk about this, looking for answers. And that's really, that has been a huge sort of aha moment for me.
Yeah. Mm. I could see that. I could absolutely see that.
Yeah.
Very
well said.
And as you were talking, you know what I was thinking about? Like, I was thinking about Mark Zuckerberg, who mm-hmm. Would he be like a prime example of an introvert who is super successful and did well? And I mean, how would you describe, you know, is that one of your examples?
I mean, he's an example in so many ways, right? His people are all in Capitol Hill testifying today. I mean, he is, I would assume, very introverted. I haven't met him. Mm-hmm. But again, so driven and so gifted, right? And created something that I think he is such a good example of learning the skills you need to get by in public life. You know, he now obviously gets up all the time in front of giant audiences. You know, he has learned how to command a stage. I think that one of the things that we need to think about also is that none of this stuff is necessarily inherent. You're not born knowing how to give a sales pitch. You're not born knowing how to address shareholders. Mm-hmm. It's okay to learn it, and it's okay that some people stumble over it and need more practice. And so I think of someone like Mark Zuckerberg. I think of his colleague Sheryl Sandberg, you know, who was pretty open, I think, about evolving her public speaking over time. You know, I think of Hillary Clinton. Again, there are many people who you can tell schmoozing a room is not what they'd rather be doing for mm-hmm. fun, but they know that it's something that has to be done, and they've gotten as good at it as they can be.
So how would you coach extroverts and others to know when it comes to interacting with those who are shy, socially anxious, or introverted? What would be some things that you would hope extroverts would have some compassion about or knowledge about?
Stop talking. I mean, I think mm-hmm. that, I think, you know, it's funny. Yeah. I think that we have a lot to learn from each other, and that the best teams and maybe even the best partnerships. I mean, my husband is a major extrovert, and, you know, again, we have many jokes with each other about it, and we get frustrated with each other about it a lot too, but that we need to understand that, as in many things, the extremes are not good, and it's really the yin and yang that makes something beautiful. So, you know, extroverts at work, especially if they're in a leadership position, I think would do very well to take a breath and get educated about different temperaments, different work styles, and then maybe have some conversations. You know, there are certain pain points that I hear over and over again. Meetings, right? Meetings are a big one. Mm-hmm. If you are in a department, say at work, and you have a lot of meetings, and the leader or the manager is an extrovert and likes a sort of brainstormy, talky, free-ranging meeting, that can be tough for introverts. You know, it was only after many years that I realized one of the things about my introversion, and this is pretty common, is I don't like to give answers on the fly. I hate brainstorming. I used to compensate for it by blurting out things and like over talking because I was so uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn that actually I needed to stop and say, I need to think about that. Mm-hmm. And now what I do is I've learned to say, you know what? I really want to absorb this. I'm going to come back to you after the meeting and send an email with my thoughts. Mm. So I sort of had to learn the hard way to channel my strengths, but it would have been amazing if I had had a manager who would have created a meeting that allowed for many different temperaments. You know, what we often get too often is at the end of the meeting, the people who haven't talked get the sort of, who haven't we heard from? Or, Jane, is there anything you'd like to say, which is so patronizing and just feels horrible, right, mm-hmm. to the whole room? And that's what mm-hmm. often happens if you're an introvert, say, who is quiet and doesn't feel comfortable talking in rooms. So, you know, be open. There are many, many resources to run an introvert-friendly meeting, team building exercises, happy hours, sales culture. There are so many ways that extroverts tend to dominate a lot of processes at work, seating arrangements, again, the open plan. I mean, I could go on, but the first thing is to sort of be aware.
It makes me think about our educational system and how, what a disservice it actually does for introverts. Because I can remember in class, and Kelly, you'll know more currently what's happening, but class participation was huge in terms of your component in your grade. So shy people and introverts, or socially anxious people, they're not raising their hand every day. They're not, ooh, 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 Mr. Cotter, pick me. They're not doing that. You know, remember that show? Was it Mr. Cotter?
Oh, yeah, Welcome Back, Cotter. Well, no, and
Welcome Back,
I mean,
Cotter.
Totally. And data show that, and this is where gender actually does play a piece, that especially quieter women will pay a real price for not participating in class. Now, here's a simple trick that I learned, which is really simple but amazing. If you talk early in a class or a meeting, you pass the test. And the professor won't notice that you haven't spoken. And so if you can say something early in a situation, even if it's fairly banal, you pass and you don't have to stress about it and you've participated and people don't think of you as that quiet person, even if you only say something quick and short at the beginning. So again, there are sort of like hacks to get around it, but it would be great. And I think that schools are starting to understand this. However, there's a premium placed on collaboration. I see it at my kids' school. I see it in workplaces, you know, sort of like agile everything coming from agile software development is really taking over. And so we're becoming really a lot more collaborative. And I think that that's also really, really hard for introverts because the combination of being on social media all the time, a lot more electronic communication with the office and in teams, and then a lot more teamwork in maybe an even open plan, no privacy situation can be a recipe for a lot of stress.
It's so funny though.
I can imagine.
That you would say that the extroverts kind of win in the classroom. Cause I almost feel a lot of times it's opposite. I feel like the kids who are quiet and well-behaved, it's like, look at Sally. She's sitting quietly, you know, she's doing her work. Like, I feel like that's kind of like what I remember, is sort of the quiet.
I think that's true in the younger grades. I mean, I have, trust me, I have that boy who's always getting in trouble.
So yes, exactly. Right. Yes, I understand. Exactly. You know, it's like, that's the role model. It's like the person who sits there, who's sort of, you know, very conventional, who just does what they're told. Like that's, you know, who we should be looking up to is kind of what I've been hearing even
but
today.
But that's not introversion either. That's just of being well-behaved and sort of getting with the system, I think.
That's true.
Yeah. Right, and that's usually used, I think, in contrast to the acting out behavioral nightmare child.
Right.
Not necessarily. I guess I was just talking more about the grade is often determined by how quickly you answer the teacher's questions in class, how quickly you come up with an idea about something. And I just remember that being really hard when I was younger and you know, but I sort of learned that tactic that you're talking about, more about, yeah, like kind of like suck up at the front end, and then they don't notice you as much as the back end.
Totally
suck up at the front end. And again, I mean, I'm an introvert who's really comfortable with public speaking. I'm very comfortable actually talking in class. I probably talk too much in class. So it doesn't mean I'm not an introvert. I think, again, there are many misconceptions. And, you know, shy, quiet Sally might be an introvert, but, you know, loud, talkative Maura, who's having, you know, is also an introvert, but is also feeling stressed out by the constant, you know, collaboration or need to perform.
Mm-hmm. Right. I can see that.
So can you give our listeners some tips from your book about how to get more comfortable in the world as an introvert and what kind of, you know, other tactics are useful?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that I'm obsessed with what I call the pace, place, and space at which you work. I mean, you know, my book is a book about work, so obviously this bleeds over into every part of your life, but I really focus on work. And I think that a lot of ways to make work better come down to having more autonomy over the pace at which you work, right? So some people are much more suited towards a sort of 9-to-5, every day is the same. Some people like to work in bursts, and this is a great tool for an introvert. You know, whether it's, I talk to some people in the book who chunk their day. So if they have like a job where they have to be on the phone or they have to perform or they have to sell, they'll book 2 hours in the morning for that. And then get some quiet time, do some admin work, and then maybe 2 hours in the afternoon, right? They're able to chunk and pace their day that allows them to build in breaks. It doesn't mean they're doing a different job or a lesser job. I mean, I think this is the key. You can do the work that you've trained for and love, whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, if you're an introvert, you just might need to pace it a little bit differently. So I really dive into that. The other thing is the place that you work. I'm obsessed with working from home and remote work. I think that this is sort of a hidden gem in the toolkit, not only of introverts, I mean, obviously for introverts, but for a lot of other people too. And that with technology, you know, a huge percent of us are actually physically able to work from home. Now we have to start making it socially able, right? Without the stigma and the sludging, it's called, of not being in the office. You know, I always say my biggest goal for this book is for, you know, bosses and managers to stop equating ambition with that guy who's always in the office, right?
Yeah.
First in, last out, always up for a happy hour, always up to take the clients out for a drink, you know. No, that's not necessarily your most ambitious person. So I think that having a little bit more control over the place is helpful. So a lot of introverts really need that quiet time, that maker time. And so it could just be as simple as like Friday mornings working from home, right? The stuff doesn't have to be complicated. And then space at which you work, right? So again, I keep coming back to the open plan. I highlight a lot of ways in the book that even if you're an office employee and you don't have, you know, you don't have the corner office, you can try to work out a little bit more time for privacy. And again, the good news is companies are evolving. They get this. It's not, you know, it's not untalked about anymore. Every company is different, but there are resources. And then I think the other thing that I really take on is selling and negotiating and business development and all that marketing-y, network-y, schmoozy kind of stuff, because that's really important. And most people need to do that, certainly at some point, to grow in their career. And there's, again, a perception that you have to be an extrovert to be a good salesperson, and that's not true. And so I talk about how to be a great and gifted introverted salesperson, because the good news is if you're an introvert, you're tuned in. You tune into other people. You're able to read a room. And all that time spent sort of negotiating human behavior and, you know, just the sort of inner dialogue that many of us have means you can solve people's problems. And that is what sales is about. And so how to channel your introverted gifts into being a good salesperson. So I take it all on.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you're talking, I was thinking about how many advantages there are to being an introvert. And so I'm wondering if you can give our listeners some, because I think there is this notion that if you're an introvert, it's quote unquote, you know, a bad thing. And I
like you're sort of sad, you know.
Yes.
I mean, I did this interview the other day and they put an article up about it, and it was this guy sort of like looking at a wall, and he sort of looked schlubby and, oh God, like who would want to be him, right?
Yeah.
I know, I felt so sad for the poor stock photo. but I think that being an introvert is amazing, because first of all, how great is it to be able to spend time with yourself? I have three children, that I can give them the gift of enjoying being alone with themselves and giving themselves, especially in this crazy world of social media and ever-present technology, to take a step back and have a moment. I mean, how else can we come up with ideas? You know, ideas are not generated over loud brainstorming sessions. Ideas are usually generated when someone has germinative time. And so that's what introverts are good at. That's what we thrive on. So that alone is a gift. But I think ultimately introverts are really good at human relationships. We're good critical thinkers. We're good at perspective taking. These are all what people call the 21st century skills, and we're good at them. And so we've got to flip the script, you know? I mean, success is not about backslapping and schmoozing. It's about critical thinking and idea generation and, you know, understanding how to solve problems.
Gosh, I'm almost thinking this is going to be sort of a global stereotype, but it almost seems that introverts are forced almost to develop greater self-confidence, right? To be able to be stand on one's own two feet, self-soothe, self-contain, requires a level of confidence that a lot of extroverts don't really have to look at their insides as much, because they try to get all of their needs met and fed by other people's validation, approval, mm-hmm. acknowledgement, nodding, you know, the rewarding with all those nonverbal cues of, okay, way to go, good job kind of stuff, where introverts have to rely more on themselves.
Is that and we do get bad feedback. Yeah, and I think we do get bad feedback. I mean, I was laughing. One of the most freeing things just happened to me this summer. I mean, I'm 41 years old, and I went on a women's trip, which was amazing, and it was 50 women, and every night, like, people would want to go out partying, and I would go back to my room, and there was a little bit of this, well, mm-hmm. God, she's no fun. You know, I started yeah. feeling like mm-hmm. I used to when I was younger, that I was not cool, mm-hmm. that I wasn't part of the group, that people thought I was stuck up, that I didn't want to be with them. Mm-hmm. The truth is, I had been with these people for like 12 hours, and I just needed a break. If I wasn't alone, I was going to die. And I felt this sense emerging during the trip that for once in my life, I was being truly self-reliant and taking care of myself. And it was so freeing. It was amazing. And I didn't care if people thought I was a bitch. I didn't care. And I focused on making friends during the time that I had energy for it. And so I think that, yeah, I mean, we get a lot of messages. But if we can sort of tune out those messages, and this doesn't mean being rude. I mean, no, you need to participate in community. But taking care of yourself is a good thing.
Right. Yeah. I 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Kelly, you would say that David is more of an introvert, yes?
100%. That's my husband. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
And Christopher is too.
Yes. And I think it's interesting because to me, I never thought about. He always says to me, like, Kelly, you don't realize, like, how easy it is for you to, like, go to a party and just talk to people. He's like, it is really difficult for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, you just come over and just ask him a question. And he's like, no, like, it's a skill. And I guess I never had thought about it in that way. So this is super fascinating, this whole topic to me.
I know, and it's funny when you see your kids like reflect pieces of you and not pieces of you.
Yes.
And then I can see my husband and I, you know, we have all these rules in our marriage because he, you know, like I said, he likes to, super extroverted, likes to socialize, has to socialize as part of his job. So we've built in all these rules, and I think my kids sort of know that, you know, you have to drag mommy along to a lot of things. And they have varying degrees of skepticism about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And my husband gets frustrated because I never want to go out.
Sure, yeah. So do you feel like...
It seems like you're speaking not just in the workplace, but in general, like there are little sort of things that people can do. Let's say you do go to a party with your husband who's an extrovert, and you can define with him or her, you know, let's do this, okay? I do this, but let me give you 2 hours, not 4 hours.
90 minutes.
You know,
90 minutes.
Is that it? Okay, 90 mm-hmm. minutes. That's your role.
That's my role.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like kind of just couples can work these things out if they're both tolerant, flexible, and understanding of the differences in the needs. It's not like you're antisocial and don't like people. It's just that you get drained when you're in the presence of that, and he fills up.
Right.
That's right. I mean, and again, over time, you know, I think I've helped him sort of rein in some of his extroversion and maybe listen better and sort of like practice his tuning in skills. And he's taught me, I mean, I have him, he's all over the book. He's taught me how to build a network, how to stay connected to people, how to be more generous and expansive with my time and my energy than I might naturally be. So I think, again, like we just have a lot to learn from each other if we can get out of our own way.
Mm-hmm. It's so true.
So true. Isn't that the key in healthy relationships, is flexibility and compassion and being able to put yourself in the other person's shoes, that empathetic
yes.
approach to be able to understand what your partner's needing and feeling and not taking that personally. Because some people take that stuff so personally, like, what's wrong with you that you don't want to do this with me? Or what's wrong with me yes. that you don't want to do this with me? And it's not about that.
That's right.
So true.
Yeah.
So you said you have three kids. Do you notice all of their different personality traits between the three of them? Is it interesting to see?
Oh, for sure. I mean, my oldest son is insanely extroverted. But, you know, and they're little, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I do feel really strongly about wanting them to be able to be alone with themselves, because I talk a lot about social media in my book, and I make my living. I own a social media agency. I'm immersed every day. And I think that one of the things that the technology is giving to us is sort of, it's deflecting us away from our alone time. And that's on purpose. You know, like, you always want to hit refresh. Mm-hmm. You always want to check Instagram and see what's new. You want to see what everyone's up to on Twitter. I need to check the political news on Twitter constantly. It's my own little addiction. You know, you're hearing the amazing things that everyone else is doing on Facebook. You're feeling FOMO. And I mean, one of the things that I'm trying to do with my kids, but also with myself, and I talk about in the book, is to sort of make that separation between my own ego and identity and the way the internet makes me feel, which is bad a lot of times. And so I think about that a lot, and I think about the role that that sort of introversion plays in hopefully building self-reliance and an ability to sort of step away from the social media craziness and say, no, this is what I need right now. I need to be quiet. I need not to be on Instagram.
Well, I mean, I think it's so smart, because I think you're basically telling our listeners, like, you know, listen to that intuition in yourself. If you need that time to decompress, like, that is your body's way of saying, like, hey, for in order for me to function, you know, and at an optimal level, I need this. And I really appreciate that, because I think we push ourselves, or we ignore those thoughts, or it's like, you know, you gave an example of, like, you were with your work people for 12 hours, you needed a break. And can you imagine if you pushed yourself even more? And then it's like, then you're resentful, and then you're not great company anyway. So I think it is really important to kind of listen to that inner voice.
You have to, but then at the same time, if you're going to be the kind of introvert who needs, again, that control over the place and space of your work, social media is a tool you need to use strategically, right? Because while you might need to step away from the Instagram or the Facebook if it's making you feel bad about yourself and making you feel stressed out, it also is a great tool. So I'm a blogger, I'm a podcaster, I mean, you two know this. Mm-hmm. I use internet media as a way of getting out there when I'm really at home in my home office in my jammies, you know.
Right.
I'm blogging, but I'm blogging from bed. And so I also try to be really honest about the fact that the same way that you need to have a healthy relationship with social media and FOMO and internet culture, you need to use it. Like, use social media the way that these companies are using us. Cultivate FOMO so that you don't actually have to get on a plane and sell your company. Get, you know, create a great online brand so that you don't have to go meet as many people at a networking event, you know? So it's a double-edged sword, and I want to be really honest about that too.
Mm-hmm. It seems to me, as you're talking, it's just occurring to me, and I may be totally off base here, but that extroverts actually sometimes aren't aware that they also do need alone time, because they're so like driven to be around other people. But the body, our souls, our being requires some decompression and sort of regeneration, our own time and our own space. And I think sometimes introverts too, they can become hermit-like, because that's their dominant drive internally, is to be more alone and more internal. But people do need socialization with others. People do need the connectivity and the connection with others. So I'm just learning and listening that this is really something about, again, balancing and trying to be just respectful of the whole gamut of what our human needs are.
Totally. I mean, I have very reclusive tendencies, and it's funny, so does my mother, and I think it's genetic. Like, and so sometimes I have to break out of it, you know? I mean, it's been too many days since I've actually left the house, then, you know, I'll force myself to, like, put on some makeup and go see someone and get that energy from them. I have a really funny interview in the book with KJ Delantonio, who's a journalist from the New York Times, and she sort of indulged her major introversion for a year and would hide in the car when her kids had sporting events. Like, she wouldn't come in to school functions. She'd sit in the car and read. And finally, after a year, she realized, you know what, I'm being rude. And this is not good for my kids, not my community. I got to go in and talk to the other parents at some point. So again, I mean, I think it is about that balance, knowing when it's good to connect, but also knowing when you need to disconnect.
Sure. So again, we are talking with Maura Ahrens Mealy, and it's Hiding in the Bathroom, an introvert's roadmap to getting out there when you'd rather stay home. And I love, by the way, the cover of the book is adorable. It's like this bathroom tile. It's so cute. I love it. Blue.
Yeah, funny.
It's great. It's really, really perfect for the book. I love it.
So you're not going to believe this, Maura, but we are pretty close to out of time. So what didn't we cover that you think is really essential for our listeners to understand more?
I think the first thing is that introversion may look different than you think it does and than the media portrays it. And so if any of this has resonated with you, but you're not necessarily shy or quiet, you know, that's okay. You might be an introvert. And so have a think about that. The other thing is, if you show up at your office in the morning and sit in your chair and think, oh my gosh, do I have to be here all day? Mm-hmm. Then also ask yourself the question, do I have to be here all day? A lot of us think we hate our jobs because we're in the wrong field and we're doing the wrong work, when many of us are doing the right work, we're just doing it in the wrong way. And that is just a massive moment when you can understand that and take steps to change it. Your boss does not want you to quit. I have a whole chapter in the book that talks you through how to make changes to your schedule, work from home, etc., because you need it. And trust me, your boss does not want you to quit. Unless your boss wants you to quit and you want to quit, and that's a whole other podcast. But trust me, they probably don't. And then, you know, the third thing is, I think, to be really strategic about social media and your online brand, and not just drink the Kool-Aid when everyone tells you, as they probably do if you're either, you know, rising in the workplace or whatever it in your career, you need a social media brand, you need to be online. If you sort of think, why? Well, then check out my chapters, because I'm with you and I'll show you how to be super strategic about it.
I love that. Thank you so much. And then where can they find your book and your website and all that media stuff?
They can find my book anywhere on Amazon or your local bookseller, Barnes & Noble. And you can find me at hidinginthebathroom.com, where if you sign up for my newsletter, you get two really fantastic PDFs. One is my 16-point guide to surviving a professional conference, which you can like print out and bring with you to your next networking event. It's like a little friend. And then the other is my guide to surviving and channeling FOMO, fear of missing out, which we've talked a lot about. And then you can find me on Twitter, too.
I love that. Oh, my God. You were wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thanks, lady. Happy Halloween.
You too.
Happy Halloween. What are your kids going to be?
Well, so my oldest is going to be Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada.
Love him.
Don't ask.
That's so cute.
I know. He's so, we've got the socks, we've got the Canadian pin, and then I've got a George Washington because they're obsessed with Hamilton, and then I've got a unicorn, the 2-year-old
so
unicorn.
Cute.
She's so cute.
Oh my gosh, so cute. Love it. Thank you so much. You've been a fabulous guest. So listeners, make sure you pick up a copy of the book, and wow. So informative. Again, if you missed that, it's Hiding in the Bathroom, an Introvert's Roadmap to Getting Out There. And it's by Maura Ahrens Mealy. Thank you again so much.
So next week.
Wow, Kelly, another week.
Yes. Next week we have Jennifer Irwin, Address the Color of the Sky. It's very interesting. Super, super interesting.
Do you have any idea what that's about?
Yes. I think it's either like schizophrenia or bipolar, like some sort of mental health. She's sending us the book, so we don't have it currently, but super interesting. So maybe we'll keep it a mystery to keep you on the edge of your toes.
Very exciting.
Cool. So follow us on Instagram at Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly, Twitter at DocTherapist1, and our website, Doc and Therapist, and send emails anytime, docandtherapist@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great Halloween, and feel better, Deborah.
You too. Okay, bye-bye. Love you.
Bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.